Yes. All right, Rabosai, good morning. Welcome to the last daf of Meseches Nedarim. So beautiful, beautiful, wonderful accomplishment. So we'll savor every word. It's going to be a little, well, hopefully it won't be too long until we see it again, but if following the daf yomi cycle, it'll be a little while until we see it again. So let's take a look. We're starting today's daf is Tzadik Aleph 91. We are picking up on the bottom of Tzadik Amud Beis. So we left off Amarat Papa. So we'll say it's actually four lines up from the bottom. Amarat Papa, Badik Lon Rava, Eishes Koin Shenensa, Yesh Laksubar In Laksubar. So the Papa has the following kasha, that if a wife of a Kohen is violated, does she have a ksuva or not? So we'll say, remember, as we established yesterday, if the wife of a Kohen is violated, so the halacha is that the Kohen can no longer remain married to her. So now he has to divorce her, so the shayla is she entitled to her ksuva or not? So on one hand, kevan da onis legabe Kohen, karotzen legabe Yisrael dami, in la ksuva. So we'll say, on one hand, I can say like this, that the case of a wife of a Kohen who's violated is similar to a case of a wife of a Yisrael who willingly committed adultery. Meaning in both cases, the wife will be usher to her husband. So maybe I'll say, just like in the case of an Eishes Yisrael who willingly commits adultery, so she doesn't get a ksuva. So maybe in the case of an Eishes Kohen who's violated, she also doesn't get a ksuva. And I'll both say, now it sounds strange to us to equate those two cases. What the Gemara is saying is the reason why I can't equate them is because the result is the same. That an Eishes Yisrael who willingly commits adultery is usher to her husband in the same way that an Eishes Kohen who is violated is asura to her husband. So I might have thought that in any case where a woman becomes usher to her husband, not because of actions of the husband himself, that perhaps the havamin is that she shouldn't get a ksuva. So that's one possibility. Ol dilma matzi amrala ana hakazina. Or on the other hand, she could say, she being the wife of the Kohen, could say to her husband, listen, I am perfectly fine. In other words, that the issue over here, that the fact that the marriage that can't continue is not an issue with me. The gav tapav tzadik aleph, the gavru hu dinis tapcha sadeh, quite literally, it's because it's your fault, meaning it's your problem. Literally, your field became flooded. In other words, what she was saying is, the problem is not me. The problem is you. Because had you not been a Kohen, again, we could have continued to remain married to each other. The fact that you're a Kohen, you have these added restrictions. Therefore, you're the reason the marriage can't continue, because you're the reason the marriage can't continue. Fine, marriage isn't going to be dissolved, but I should not be held financially accountable for that, and therefore I should get the ksuba. So we'll say these are the two sides of the coin. So what's the halacha? But Amrina Lein, we said, Mas nisin him. The truth is, the answer to this question is the Mefurash Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? Ha omeres tamea ani lecha yesh la ksuba. Rabbos, remember, this is yesterday's Mishnah. So what did the Mishnah say? If a woman says, Eishes Kohen says to her husband, I was violated, so yesh la ksuba. She has a ksuva, meaning she gets a ksuva payment. But my asking him, so what's the case here? Ilema be'eishes Yisrael, if you want to say that it's talking about the wife of a Yisrael, iberatzon, so if she willingly committed an act of adultery, klum yesh la ksuva, is she entitled to a ksuva at all? Ve'iba ones, and if she was violated, mika misra al gavra, why would she be prohibited to her husband? Ve'elorai, the Mishnah must be talking about the following case. Be'eshes Kohen, must be talking about the wife of a Kohen, where if she is violated, then what is the halacha? She becomes a surah to her husband. Iberatzon, if she willingly engaged in an act of adultery, klum yesh la ksuva, so is she entitled to any kind of ksuva? Would she be any better, or would she be any less than an Eishes Yisrael who willingly engaged in an act of adultery, in which case, again, there's no ksuva? Rather, the case of the Mishnah Rabosai, where a woman says, that with the case of our Mishnah that we read yesterday, where she says to her husband, Tameya ani lecha, that I was violated, is talking about a case of an Eishes Kohen who was violated against her will. And yet, what does the Mishnah paskin? Vekatani, yesh la ksuva. And the Mishnah paskins that what? That indeed she is entitled to a ksuva. So Rabbi says, so from here we see that if an Eishes Kohen is violated, and Rabbi says, remember, in the second iteration of the halacha, it's not just enough for the woman to say, I was violated. Remember, what did the Mishnah paskin? She has to produce evidence that something happened. But if, let's assume for a moment that she could support her claim that she was in fact violated, then halacha lamaisa, the husband Kohen has to divorce her, but she's absolutely entitled to her ksuva. Iboilo, another kasha. Amrula baila girashtani marba. So listen to this case. A woman says to her husband, you divorced me. You divorced me. Now this can't kind of case should be open and closed. Because if she's correct, so what she should be able to produce? Right? Again. So look at the Ran. The Ran says, Ibailu, second line in the Ran, Ibailu Amr la Baila Girashtani, Viniskara Haget, Osha Avad, Maula Mina Ula Tira Lihinose. So both say, so we say, okay, you say you're divorced, where's your get? She said it got torn up. Or I lost it. I lost it, which I will say, interestingly enough, you know, today, with Gittin, we don't actually allow the woman to keep the get itself, but rather both husband and wife get, they receive a document from the Beis Din indicating that a get has been executed. But a get itself is usually kept on file in the Beis Din itself, because remember, obviously, if the woman gets the get, people lose papers, well, I guess today maybe they'd scan it, you know, but people lose documents all of the time. So the idea over here is, so you have this situation, she says, I'm divorced. I wasn't, obviously, in this kind of situation, what is he saying? No, we're not divorced, right? We're happily married. Well, obviously we're not happily married, right? Right? Maybe he could kind of we're married, right? We're not happily married. So he's saying we're married. So remember, she's saying we're divorced. Where's your get? I lost it or it got torn up. He's saying, lo hayu dvarim me'olam. Never happened. We are married. We're not divorced. So what's the halakha? So what's saying? So now the shayla is, now there are two questions we're really asking over here. Question number one could be about the ksuva. But the truth is more important than the ksuva in this question is she wants to get remarried. She wants to get remarried. So now the shaila is, do we believe her claim or not? So listen to this. Sure.
So what? That's not.
But the get's not here.
I'm saying she can't.
Another country. We got divorced in Arizona, somewhere in America now. The Edom are, or I'm claiming we got divorced 20 years ago. The Edom are dead. Whatever the metzias is, there's no way for her to go out. She's not able to back up her claim in one of the classical ways that normally we back up a claim. So Amar Rav Hamnuna says, "What's the lochem out?" Amar Rav Hamnuna says, "Tashma ha'omeres tmei ani locha." Now listen to this. Rav Hamnuna says, "Well, we can prove this in our Mishnah. What did we learn in the Mishnah? If a woman, a wife of a kohen, says to her husband, I was violated. Da'afilu le'mishnah achrona diktani lo mehemna." Rav Hamnuna, remember, according to the second iteration of the halacha, that she's not believed. Now remember, why did the Mishnah say at the end that she's not believed? What are we choshesh for? What are we concerned about? Shemanasna ineh ba'acher. Maybe she just wants to marry another guy, and she's just advancing this claim as a way of getting out of her present marriage. So Rav Hamnuna says like this, even according to the second iteration of the halacha in our Mishnah, that we don't believe a claim of tamei ani lecha without supporting evidence, hasam hu demishakra, the yada de baila lo yadaba. See, they were concerned that a woman is going to lie. Why would she lie in that case, Rabosai? Because she can make this up, and what? Yes. The husband will never know. Right? Meaning, a husband's not going to know if his wife was violated or not. So she can make up this claim, the reason why there would be a havamina that she would lie is because she could lie about something, and her husband doesn't really know if she's telling the truth or not. Aval gabi girashtani, the yadaba mehemna. But I will say, at the end of the day, in the case of Gerashtani, so if she lies, her husband will what? Her husband will absolutely know that she's lying. Dechazaka in isha me'iza panabif me'baila. So Rav Hamnuna advances an incredible use. Rav Hamnuna says like this, when do people lie? Or let me say it differently. When is a wife going to lie? When is she going to lie? When her husband won't really know if she's lying or not. But a woman will never brazenly lie about something that her husband knows that she's lying about. So therefore, in the Mishnah's case, so the Maisa again, she will say, I was violated, and there's a chashash that maybe she's lying. Why? Because the truth is, again, her husband doesn't know if she was violated or not. But says Rav Hamnuna, in a case of Gerushin, see, if she lies about Gerushin, she's mamish lying. So she's got to look at her husband in the eye and tell a bold-faced lie right to his face. Because if she's making it up, he knows full well, I never gave you a get. And Rav Hamnuna says, Chazaka ein isha me'iza panabif me'baila. There's a chazaka that a woman does not tell a bold-faced lie in front of her husband. Will she lie possibly about things that... But I just want to point out, by the way, this is not just the din in women. I need to clarify that. Not just in my women. This is... We see this concept in many other areas of halacha, that people lie in circumstances where the other party does not really know if they're lying or not. That's when I feel emboldened to lie. You don't know the truth or not, so I feel emboldened to give my quote-unquote side of the story. But in a situation where the other party knows that I am lying, that I'm overtly lying, Most people don't have that level of chutzpah. So we see this, for example, we see this in the Babas, but let's say again, denying payments. So this is the concept, by the way, that if I say Reuven owes me $1,000, and Reuven says I owe you nothing. So there's a concept of ein adam meiz b'fnei bal chovo, that a person is never going to be so brazen so as to deny an entire claim in front of his creditor. Now, if Reuven says, I don't owe you $1,000, I owe you $500, then already, again, maybe it's a little bit shady. So I'm just pointing out, this is not like a din in women. This is a din in human nature. So if Hamnuna says, a woman will only lie in a circumstance where she can get away with it because her husband doesn't know the truth or not. So I was violated. Does he know she was violated? Doesn't know she knows. So she'll get away. But in a case where she says, you divorced me, she's not going to make that up in front of the husband, because the husband will know if she's absolutely lying. Therefore, if Hamnuna says, she is believed. Amarle Rabba. Rabba said, 1 second. Adarabba. I can say just the opposite. Afilu l'mishna rishona diktani mehemna. Even according to the first iteration of the halacha that said mehemna. Rabba said, now, even according to the first version of the halacha, where she comes along and she says, I was violated. So what's the halacha? The halacha, she's believed and she gets her ksuva. Now, why did Chazal believe her? Remember, Chazal only changed their tune when they saw that women were abusing this system to get out of present marriages and to move on with another guy. That's when they changed it. But obviously, what's the Havamina? Why did they believe her initially when she said that I was violated? Because again, a person is not going to degrade themselves and to make a claim like that if it's not true. For a woman to say that she was violated by another man is obviously a very humiliating claim. So she is not going to make that claim unless, of course, it's true. Aval hacha. But Rabbi said, for a woman to claim that her husband divorced her, that's not a humiliating claim. You know why? Listen to this. Dezimin detakifle min gavra mi'izo mi'iza. Because sometimes she gets so angry with her husband that she is willing to say whatever she needs to say in order to mamish give it to him. Look at the Ran. Detakifle min gavra sha'al yidei ka'asa tischazik min habal. Because since she gets so angry with him, she wants to do anything to have the upper hand. La'ha'iz panim bavlam abar kiyashay. So we'll say, this is amazing. It's amazing how sometimes marital dynamics have not changed in thousands of years. That what happens, that sometimes there could be such discord in a marriage that one spouse, more than anything, wants what? To have the upper hand. To have the upper hand. Not to be right, but to have the upper hand. So this case over here, so remember, to make up a claim that she was violated, so no, Chazal originally thought a woman's not going to do that because there's so much humiliation that comes with that, she's just not going to say that. But could she get so angry at her husband to make up a claim that he divorced her even when he didn't? Absolutely. Masiv Rav Mishash, so this is the machlokes Rava and Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna says that if a woman says that Lamaisa, her husband, divorced her, ultimately she is believed. Why? Because the chazaka in isha mi'iza panem if mei baila. Because a woman is not going to overtly lie in the presence of her husband. On the other hand, Rava says that no, that the idea is a woman won't say things that are humiliating about herself if they're not true. But will a woman absolutely make stuff up because she gets angry about her husband? No question, she absolutely will. Masiv Rav Mesharshia, so Rav Mesharshia raises a kasha, and what's the kasha? Hashamayim beini lebeinach. So remember again, quoting from the Mishnah, what did the Mishnah say? She makes this claim, literally heaven is between me and you. Now, also remember, this was a euphemism for this case yesterday. What happened yesterday? That she says to him that your zera, your seed, is not yorek echez. It doesn't shoot like an arrow. It doesn't come out with force. So because it doesn't come out with force, therefore, again, it's incapable of impregnating me. And therefore, she wants a divorce. I can't have told you that I want a divorce. So it says the Gemara, listen to this. The Mishnah, Rishona, Tiyupto Dirava. Now, the first iteration of this halacha is a reputation. Now, what was the first iteration of the halacha? That if she makes this claim that the zera is not yorek b'chetz, that ultimately when he emits seed, it doesn't come out with force, but rather it just trickles out, and therefore is incapable of impregnating her. So remember, in the first iteration of the halacha, so remember, again, she is believed. So the Gemara says, this is a refutation of Rava. Why? Because hachad the less lucky sufa, because it was a, here is a case where this statement, it's not embarrassing for her, it's embarrassing for him. And yet what? V'katani debhemna. Rava said, remember, Rava said the only time she's believed is when she makes a statement that is humiliating for herself, because we assume she's not going to make a self-humiliating statement if it's not true. And yet here's a case of where when she says that the zera, the seed is not coming out like an arrow, so that's not humiliating for her, and yet she is believed. Kasava Rava, Hasam Kevan Delo Sagila, Dilo amra in yorik yecheit. So Asasra says, no. Understand something. When the Mishnah gives this euphemism of heaven is between me and you, in other words, that only God knows if I'm telling the truth, that's actually not enough for her to get her ksuva. In Beis Din, she would actually have to explicitly articulate the claim. And she would literally have to say that your zera, your seed, is not yorek echeitz. It does not come out with force. But rather, again, it only trickles out. So we'll say, that's a pretty graphic statement to make in Beis Din, right in front of all of these people. Ilo isa kideka amra. If she wasn't really telling the truth, lo amrale, she wouldn't say it. I was about to say, so Rava's amending his statement a little bit. So yes, we believe her in certain in situations where ultimately the statement itself was humiliating, or in cases where she has to give such graphic testimony about the nature of the husband's you get the message. Good. Look in your eyes, girl. Right. So ultimately, again, when she went to give this type of graphic testimony, she's not going to go ahead and give it unless, of course, at the end of the day, it's correct.
Why does it have to be graphic? Why not just the same as Gerish Tani? She's not going to lie to his face.
So we're going to discuss that. All right. So meaning, why isn't this a case where if she's not going to lie about things that he knows? Oh, hold on. Barshigand, hold on to that. So the Gemara goes weiter. But I will say the second iteration of this halacha is a kasha on Rav Huna. How so? Because remember, what was the second iteration? That when she says Hashamayim Beini LeBeinach, when she says again, same halach, same thing, that the zera, the seed, is not coming out with force; it's just trickling out. So remember, in the second version of this halacha, what's the halacha? She's not believed. So that should be a refutation of Rav Hamnuna, because it was like Ari just said. What did Rav Hamnuna say? Rav Hamnuna said that a woman never lies about something that her husband knows the absolute truth. So I don't understand. We would assume over here that what this is something that what. The husband knows the absolute truth about. So Lamaisa, if she's still making the claim, ultimately that lends credence to her claim. She wouldn't lie about something like this. To which Lamaisa says, "Vahahacha di yadahi obayla yadaba." So this is something that she knows about and the husband knows about. Vikatani de lo mehemna. And yet, what does it say? It says that Lamaisa, she's not believed. Zekashon Rav Hamnuna. Listen to this. Kasav Rav Hamnuna. Hachi nami hi gufa amra nihi debebia yada biyorek echeitz mi yada o mishum hachi mishaka. So this is actually quite interesting. So Rav Hamnuna seems to say that lamaisa, a woman has a greater knowledge about these things than even the man has. That a woman is able to feel whether or not the zera really comes out with enough force to be able ultimately to impregnate, versus the husband does not have that same level of sensitivity of sensation, which is quite interesting. Therefore, the Gemara, let me just translate the words, because Rav Hamnuna says, Hachinami, so too in this case, he gufa amra, nihid, she's willing to say this, why, nihid debebia yada. The husband obviously knows that there was bia, and he knows ultimately again that there was an emission of zera, but biyore kecheitz miyada, does he know about how the zera comes out itself? Meaning, does he know that if it's yore kecheitz or if it just trickles out, o mishum hachi mishakra, and therefore again, she'd be willing to go ahead and lie about it. So I'm saying that this is a very interesting gemara, because it's strange, because we would assume the husband absolutely knows if the zera is yore kecheitz. Or if it's not Yorek Echeitz, right? He would know ultimately again how the emission occurs. But Lamaisa, the Gemara seems to operate with the understanding over here that although the woman is able to know, the husband is not able to know to the same degree. Therefore, because this is an area where ultimately she feels that she knows more than the husband, therefore what? Therefore, this zaglaim, there's the ability for her to lie about it. Because remember, again, Rav Hamnuna says, it's not a contradiction to me. I hold that she could potentially lie in any situation where she feels she has the upper hand with the knowledge. She knows more than the husband. And even in this, so the Havamina is, in this case, she doesn't know more than the husband. Kamash will on what? She does know more than the husband. So the bottom line is, the wife always knows more than the husband. Right? Even when he thinks he should know more about it. Lemaisa, bottom line is, she knows that. So we'll say, so just you should know, halacha lemaisa. So how do we paskin in this case? Remember again, the Gemara started off with a very specific kasha, which is in a situation where she says, you divorced me, but lemaisa again, he claims, no, I didn't. He says, and if I did, where's your get? And she claims, I lost my get. So what's the halacha? So we'll say, listen to this. So the Shulchan Aruch, this is in Evan HaEzer, Simin Yud Zayin Sif Beis. So the Shulchan Aruch says the following. So Ha'isha Sha'amar Labayla Befanav Gerashtani. If a woman says in front of her husband, this is a very important caveat. Because remember again, all of this is taking place to the husband's face. And that's even Lashon of the Gemara over here. Amra Libayla. She's speaking to her husband. She's not talking to a Beis and without her husband or to her friends. She's saying to her husband, you divorced me. So what's the halacha? Ne'emenes, she is believed. This is codified in the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, remember, the Chiddush over here is what? What doesn't she have? What doesn't she have? She doesn't have a get. She's not bringing forth Eidim. She's making a claim that you divorced me. Why? She's believed. Chazaka ein isha me'izeh paneh b'fnei ba'ila. Because the said we accept this chazaka, which again is a logical chazaka, that ultimately she's not going to lie blatantly about something that her husband knows she's lying about. Therefore, if she claims that he divorced her, even though she cannot go ahead and produce the necessary paperwork to back up that assertion, we believe her claim. Now, obviously, that halacha is much more complicated than what I'm making it out over here. How exactly she remarries, what the ramifications are. We'll get to that in Gittin. I'm just pointing out to you that the principle applies. That ein isha me'iza paneh b'fnei ba'ila, that a woman will lie about things that she feels her husband doesn't have knowledge about. But she will not lie, and again, I want to be clear. This is not a din in women. I want to be clear. I can't be clear enough about this. No, because you hear this, and it sounds like Chazal are making a statement about women's willingness to lie. It's not about women. It's a din in human nature. That's what I'm saying. The same halacha will apply in monetary matters as well. And again, it's a very logical assumption. People lie only about things that they feel the other party doesn't really have knowledge about. But most normal people, and I say normal people, because you'll always have sociopaths. So sociopath will be willing to do whatever, whenever, in order to get his way. You can't make halacha around sociopathic behavior because that's the outlier. That's the abnormal. Halacha could only govern normative behavior. So normative behavior says people lie about things when they feel the other party doesn't have full knowledge. But if the other party has full knowledge, they will not lie about such things.
She was still going to assume. No, I didn't. Would he lie about something that his wife would?
Say that again.
He's lying to her face. Isn't it like a catch 22? The husband's lying, though. He's saying, no, I didn't remember.
No, maybe he doesn't remember, right. Maybe he doesn't remember. Or maybe he thought that the get wasn't good, or a whole variety of different things.
She would get her suitor, right?
Oh, so it was. So they're asking, it sounds like over here, that she would not get her ksuva. Because Lamai says, as much as she's. And that's why the Ran points out, Lahatira Linase. She wants to get remarried. Because remember, to take get a ksuva means to extract money. So to extract money, the threshold, I would think you have to go ahead. You see, if she gets remarried, so the onus is on her. The onus is on her, fine. We believe you. You want to get remarried, that's fine. Just know, if that get ever resurfaces, or somehow your claim is ever disputed, you're going to be in big trouble. But to extract money from the husband, I think she'd have to furnish some additional proof.
Because she wants to get remarried, she went two times. She says, she might be named Becca, and then she gets the get. And
say again.
If she makes, she's got two options. She can either claim Gerashtani or she can claim Hashemayim Bini. So if she claims Hashemayim Bini Avenecha, then she gets the get and she gets all
the money. Oh, no, but remember, not anymore. That's why the second version of the Mishnah says that claim no longer works. She'd have to prove it. She'd have to prove it. According to the halacha lemaisa of the Mishnah now, that Hashemayim Bini Beinecha no longer works by itself. Just like, what was the lashon? Tzimiani Lecha no longer works either. You had those claims, at one point, now you have to bring actual evidence. Correct. Says the Gemara, Hahi Isisa, Nabal said this. This is very interesting cases. Sahi Isisa, the Chol Yoma de Tashmish. Listen to this case. So there was a fine circumstance that there was this couple where every morning after the couple had relations, the woman would bring water for her husband to wash his hands. This was a loving gesture. She'd bring him, Nagelwasser in bed. Some people get breakfast in bed, other people get Nagelwasser in bed. Right? So she brought him Nagelwasser in bed. So what happened? So Amarla, and she would only do this on mornings after they had relations. Amrla hadam milsalo habisa idna. He said to her, "Honey, that's so nice of you. You know, we didn't even have relations yesterday." So she says, "Amrla, I don't know about you. I had relations yesterday." So she said, "Amrla im kain chad min nachrim ahule dahabahacha idna." said, I don't know what to tell you. She said, I had relations yesterday, so maybe it was one of the Gentile perfumers. The Gentile, meaning they're saying they had people in their house. They had people in their house. So there were guys selling perfume here yesterday. So if it wasn't you, maybe it was someone else. Right? So what's that? So obviously you could see. So what she's saying over here is, all she's claiming is I had relations. I thought it was with you. If you're telling me, which doesn't speak really to the nature of their intimate bonds, but in any event, what she's saying is, I thought it was you. You're claiming now that it wasn't you, so I don't know what to do. Because again, I know that I had relations, so maybe there were other people here, maybe someone else posed as you and I had relations with them. So I'll say, obviously, again, this is an important kasha, because the question is she prohibited to her husband or not? Amar Rav Nachman, we ignore her. This is a ruse. This is a ruse. Meaning, she clearly just wants out of the marriage, and she wants out of the marriage ultimately again. You have to say, this would also be a case of an Eishes Kohen, right? Because remember, again, by an Eishes Yisrael, if a woman accidentally has relations with another man, when I say accidentally, if she thinks it's her husband, but it's really someone else, then that's not adultery. The only case where that would require dissolution of the marriage is by an Eishes Kohen. So Rav Nachman said, we ignore her words. This is just a ruse. She wants to get out of the marriage with her ksuva, and we just ignore what it is that she's saying. Another case. There was a woman, who was not in a good mood with her husband. She was bregis, she was angry with her husband. Amra leha idna, maishna. So husband says, honey, what's wrong? Amra le meolam lo tsa'artan bederech eretz ki ha'idna. You know, last night during relations, it was very painful. You hurt me. You hurt me last night during relations. Amra la, I don't know what you're talking about. Lo haba milsa ha'idna. We weren't together last night. What are you referring to? Amrale, so she says, well, I don't know about you, but I had relations last night. Amrale, imkein, halin nachrin naftuye dehavu hacha idna, iant lo dilmachad min hon. So I don't know, maybe it was some of the Gentile merchants who were, this time it's not perfumers, it's people who are selling naft, another type of fuel. Right? So what happens? So now she said, if it wasn't you, maybe it was one of these guys. So they come again to Rav Nachman. Amar lehu Rav Nachman, lo sashkichun ba, no senes einaha ba'achar havi. Rav Nachman again said, don't pay any attention to her claim. At the end of the day, she just wants out of the marriage, and she's making up this claim to get out.
Is it how, this case in the previous one?
No, just same cases. How, which again is very common stylistically in the Gemara. With the Gemara, these are bringing episodes that actually occurred, and the case of Rav Nachman. Hahu gabra. Well, it's another interesting case. Hu gabra dahava maharzik bebesahu veinsasa. So listen to this. There was a particular man, maharzik, the Ran says over here, shahaya nechba im osa isha kidar parakal. So by the way, just so you see. So the idea of these cases, by the way, is that we don't assume that people engage in adulterous behavior. We don't make that assumption. And therefore, lemaisa, again, unless, of course, we know the absolute certainty that adultery occurred, we do not assume that adultery occurred. That's the point that Rav Nachman is making. So listen to this case over here. There was a particular man that was secluded with a married woman in the house, in the marital home. Ol asa mara debese. So what happened? So this man is alone with, you know, Mrs. So-and-so in the house, and her husband comes home. Right as he comes home, what happens? Parte noev lehutza va'arak. So apparently they had like a wall made of bamboo, right? Made of different shoots. So what happens? So the guy, we'll call him the guy. So the guy who was secluded with the wife, the husband comes in, he runs through the wall. He runs through the wall, he runs away. So the shaila is, the question now is, so what's going on over here? I said, obviously this looks a little bit strange, right? Wife was clearly alone with some man. Husband comes home, the guy goes running literally through the wall. So the shaila is, do we assume that adultery occurred or not? So Amarava, is this a shaya? So Rava says, we assume that the wife is still permitted to her husband. Why? Im isa de avad isura irkesu havimirkas. Because had something really happened, the truth is, the adulterer would have hid. he would have hit. He wouldn't have run away. Because Rabbi say he realized that what happens when you bust through that wall and you start running, what's going to happen? First of all, chances are the husband's going to see you. And second of all, others may, first of all, he may chase you, right? And second of all, again, others may see you also, which means that your cover is totally blown. If you really did, if you really committed an Aveira, your best bet would be to what? To be able to hide. To be able to... To be what? Zachariah? Good. Boy, Ari, you better clear your schedule. That clock. Good. I don't know how you're going to metaphorically explain this. So says, excellent, excellent. So says the Gemara the following. So therefore, again, Rava says, if something really happened, so the Maisa, again, he would have hid. The fact that he ran away indicates that, look, I will say, it was still something wrong, because it's wrong to be secluded with a married woman. But again, so it was wrong enough for him. I just want to get out of here. I don't want anyone to get out. I'm sorry? I'm sorry. Yosef, right, correct. Like Yosef did, right? Yosef, I mean, I want to get out of this because I realize the circumstances are wrong. But again, the fact that he ran through the wall doesn't indicate that there was adultery. Had there been adultery, he probably would have hid. So I'm going to say another story. Who knoweth? This is also very interesting. Who knoweth? The al legabe dahi insisa. Now, I'm going to say now, in this case, they call him a noeth. They call him an adulterer. So we'll see. This is very interesting. So there was a guy. The alagabe dahi insasa. So listen to this. So there was this adulterer, and he was alone in a house with this married woman. Asa gavra. So the husband came home. So salik noev esid biklai baba. So both say the adulterer. This is going to be funny. The adulterer hid behind the curtains. He literally hid behind the curtains of the doorway. So the doorway had a curtain by it. He hid behind the curtains of the doorway. Okay. So fine. Husband doesn't realize that he's there. Hava machton tachli tamon. So there was some cress. There was some cress in the house. Now, that cress, there was a poisonous snake. There's a lot of layers to this story. So right, there was a poisonous snake that had injected some venom into the cress. The husband who just came home didn't know this. He's about to eat the cress. So what happens? So boy married the base lamecha. So the husband who just came home, he's hungry after a long day. He doesn't want a little bit of cress, right? So what happens? So he's going to eat the cress. Min hano tachli below daita the insasa. Now his wife wasn't there. The wife apparently also knew that it was poison, but she didn't have a chance to throw it out. So nobody's there. Nobody's there. So can you imagine this scene? So the adulterer is hiding behind the curtain right by the kitchen. The husband is there about to eat the poisonous cress. No one's there to stop him. Husband's lifting it up to his mouth. Amar lehu noif. Lo seichlin min home de tamina chivya. So I say, so a voice comes out from behind the curtain, put down the crest, right? Put down the crest. The crest is, right? Step away from the crest. The crest is poisoned. Vegetable. Right? In the lettuce family. So thank you. So what happens? Put down the crest. So listen to Zobos. So obviously, once that happens, of course, the first thought is it's a baskol. Second thought is, there's a guy who was in the house with my wife hiding behind the curtains. So what happens? So we'll say that obviously the Shaila becomes, so what's the step meaning? So do we assume adultery? Now in this case, I remember, what did we just say before? We just said before that if the guy had really committed adultery, then what would he do? He would hide. Okay, he's hiding. So now the Shaila over here is, what do we do in this case? We'll listen to this. I'm sorry?
You make him eat the crust.
You make him eat the crust, right? So listen to this. Amar Rava. Insase sharia. So Rabbi says in this case the wife is permitted, and I'll tell you why. Because in Isa da Avit Isura, Necha le de Lecha Velemus. Because Rabbi says, I'll tell you, the proof that the guy didn't commit adultery is very simple. Because if he really was having an affair with this married woman, then the easiest thing for the adulterer to do would have been what? Keep quiet. Because your problem is about to be solved. The husband is about to eat the poisonous cress. You're not even doing anything. He's taking care of himself for you. Let him eat the poisonous cress. He'll die. And you'll be able to be with this woman. Because this is actually quite amazing. Because the pasuk says over here from Yecheskel, kino afu, because they committed adultery, the dam bi'adayim, and blood is on their hands. Which Rabbi Yosef refers to the idea that sometimes, again, Rashi says over here, dino afim harkin abalim, because sometimes, first of all, we know that one avera could lead to another, and adultery already represents a lack of respect for the other. You don't respect the relationships of another. So if you don't respect the relationships, it could also come you don't respect the life of another. So the Navi Yecheskel is saying that those who began committing the act of adultery have blood on their hands because sometimes they would kill the husbands of the women whom they were committed adultery with in order to be together. So again, so the fact that this guy was, if you say that he was already committing adultery, that he should be willing to what? Let the guy, and he wouldn't even have to kill the guy himself. Just let the guy kill himself. So the Gemara says, so listen to this. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is, if he had really committed adultery, then what? Then he really would have let the husband eat the cress. The fact that he didn't let the husband eat the cress indicates to us what? That nothing really happened. It's true, again, there's something inappropriate. I mean, they were alone with each other, that's inappropriate, but that adultery itself did not occur. So the Gemara says, pshita, that's obvious. Mao detema, now listen to this. Mao detema, isura avid. God said, this is so profound. I would have thought, no. They did commit adultery. The haida amarle, so one second, if they did commit adultery, so why did the adulterer stop the husband from eating the crest? Listen to this. Denechale de lo lamos bal, detehavi in suye eluye, mayim genuvim yimtaku, the lechem setar minayim. Because I will say, the adulterer doesn't want the husband to die. He wants the husband to remain alive. Because I will say, you know what happens if the husband dies? If the husband dies, it's called marriage. I'm going to have to marry her. Right? So I'm going to have to marry her. So what's the fun in that? Right? You know, at the end of the day, I will say, it's an incredible insight into the psychology of sin. What makes sin so exciting? Because the forbidden fruit is always sweeter. Because at the end of the day, and by the way, this is actually the pasuk from Mishlei. Mayim genuvim yimtaku. Stolen waters are always sweeter. The lechem sitar minayim, and the bread of secrecy is always more pleasant. So the Gemara says over here, maybe I could say the following. Maybe I could say, you know why he saved the husband? Because if the husband remains alive, then the adultery remains exciting. Then its forbidden fruit is always sweeter. But if the husband dies, it's no longer adultery. And if it's no longer adultery, then if it's permitted, then it's not so exciting. So therefore, maybe that's why. I was like, as crazy as maybe the reason he went ahead and he saved the husband was to keep the excitement of the adulterous affair. Kamashmala no, the Gemara. Kamashmala, we don't say that. Kamashmala, and again, that the way normal people work is, again, if somebody was really committing adultery and there's the opportunity to get the husband out of the picture without me even doing anything, then the mice, again, a person would take that opportunity. The fact that the adulterer went ahead and, saved the husband indicates to us what? That Lamais, although there was something inappropriate in his seclusion with the woman, nevertheless, we assume that adultery itself did not occur. Again, what we're going to make out, you want to announce about the scene?
Friday night dinner in the shul. We'll send an email.
We're going to have a beautiful Suda Mirat Hashem, so we'll make the scene together. But I will say, again, so tomorrow morning, it's an incredible accomplishment. First of all, to finish Maseches Nedarim, as you know, those of you who've gone through this together. So the truth is, it's not the easiest of Masechtas, but the truth is, you see the beautiful, beautiful aspect of Torah, the beautiful, beautiful words. And I think if there's one message that comes out from this Masechta, and the truth is, tomorrow we start Nazir, right? Nazir tomorrow morning. The one message you see is the power of our words. The power of our words. And at the end of the day, the ability of words just to make a huge difference within our lives. And I'll just tell you, I'll end off this Masechta with a beautiful Vart. You know, we know the Nesiv HaShalom brings this down. He says, Adam ki yakriv mikem karban la'Hashem. Literally, if a person will bring from among you a karban la'Hashem, and the Slonimer says something very beautiful, the Slonimer writes, he says, Adam ki yakriv mikem karban la'Hashem, that we can learn something mikem, we can learn something about ourselves from a karban. What happens with a karban? A person goes ahead and says that this animal is karban, kadosh la'Hashem, this animal is an ola. So what happens to that animal when a person says it's an ola? What happens? Instantaneously it becomes kadosh. But it's just a word. So says the Slonimer, if you see that a word could transform an animal, how much a word could transform ourselves as well? That the beginning of the pathway to Kedusha is not paved with actions, but the beginning of the pathway to Kedusha, to Tshuva, is paved with words. That sometimes in life what you need to start with is a mission statement. This is what I want to be. This is who I want to be. I'm not there yet. I have a lot of work until I get there, but I want to articulate the vision I have for myself. I want to articulate the goal I have for myself. And what we see from the Dharma of Osai is people say words are just words. It's not true. Words are not just words. Words create realities. They begin. It's true. Words are not enough to cement that reality. Words create the reality, and then you need actions to cement that reality. That's the message of Maseches Nedarim. Words create realities, and then actions bolster that reality. And I will say, it's so important that we're finishing this Maseches Nechodesh Elul. Because the avod we have for Elul is to begin to articulate a vision for, like, what do we want to be when we grow up? Because the truth is, most of us are not grown up. Most of us are not even yet in our prime. We're working towards our prime. And that's true no matter how old you are. None of us has really reached the pinnacle of our life yet. We have to articulate. We have to make a neder, so to speak. A chalos amira. What do we want to be? What do we want to do? What are the kind of people we want to grow into? And when we make that articulation, when we say those words, then that dream already becomes a reality. So we should be zocha. Emir Tashem and the zuchus of finishing this beautiful and magnificent mesechta. That we should be zocha, Emir Tashem, to have the courage to articulate the vision. Just at least to begin to articulate what it is we want to be, what it is we want to accomplish, what we want out of the coming year. And Emir Hashem, that beautiful Amira, should create the framework of a reality, and we should find the strength to cement that reality with our beautiful actions and our beautiful Meisim over the year to come. Shkayach Avosai, and a Mazel Tov. And a special Mazel Tov to Said. Said, as you know, is dedicating a Sefer Torah today. Baruch Hashem, incredible Zuchus. The procession here starts in the Shul parking lot at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and will make its way to Beit Yaakov. Mazel Tov. Thank you.